A violent tempest tears through the sea. Nobles scramble across the ship's deck, shouting orders that mean nothing against nature's fury. The King of Naples prepares for death. His son, Ferdinand, clings to splintering wood. And then, silence. The storm vanishes as suddenly as it appeared, revealing itself as illusion, a carefully orchestrated spectacle created by an exiled duke with a book of spells and a score to settle. This is how Shakespeare's final solo creation begins, with manufactured chaos that feels utterly real, a perfect metaphor for theater itself. Written around 1611, as the playwright prepared to leave London's stages behind, The Tempest stands apart from his other works. No borrowed plot, no historical source, just pure imagination, distilled into a story about power, forgiveness, and the magic we create to survive our own betrayals. 12 years before that fabricated storm, Prospero was Duke of Milan, so absorbed in magical studies that he neglected governance. His brother Antonio conspired with King Alonso of Naples to overthrow him, setting Prospero and infant Miranda adrift in a rotting boat. They washed ashore on an island existing outside normal geography, a liminal space where reality's rules bend. This island harbors two other inhabitants. Ariel, a spirit trapped in a pine tree by the witch Sycorax, was freed by Prospero, then bound into service with promises of eventual liberation. Their relationship embodies peculiar tension. Ariel serves loyally, yet constantly reminds his master of promised freedom that never arrives. Caliban, Sycorax's son, was initially treated kindly and taught language. After attempting to rape Miranda, he was enslaved, forced to gather wood under threat of magical torture. Caliban has become one of Shakespeare's most contested characters. Post-colonial readings reimagine him as indigenous persons subjugated by European colonizer. His retort, "You taught me language, and my prophet aunt is I know how to curse," becoming a rallying cry about how education simultaneously empowers and oppresses. The relationship asks, what obligations does the powerful have toward those they educate? When does protection become domination? These questions echo through centuries of colonial history, making a 400-year-old play feel urgently contemporary. With his enemies shipwrecked, Prospero orchestrates romance between his daughter Miranda and Ferdinand, King Alonso's son. Having never seen another man besides her father and Caliban, Miranda calls Ferdinand a thing divine. Ferdinand, grieving his father's presumed death, finds unexpected solace in her beauty. Though secretly pleased, Prospero feigns opposition and forces Ferdinand into harsh labor, stacking logs like a common servant. This tests Ferdinand's character while creating obstacles that strengthen romantic bonds. Ferdinand embraces his wooden slavery willingly, declaring his heart flew to Miranda's service. When she offers to carry logs herself, becoming his servant whether you will or no, menial labor transforms into love's expression. This voluntary bondage raises a crucial question: what distinguishes slavery from service? The answer lies in consent and reciprocity. Ferdinand and Miranda choose mutual devotion. Ariel and Caliban have servitude imposed. The play suggests all relationships involve trading freedom for connection, but the terms determine whether we experience liberation or captivity. While young love blooms, darker plots unfold. Antonio, who usurped Prospero's dukedom, now tempts Sebastian to murder King Alonso and seize Naples' throne. Their conspiracy reveals how one betrayal enables the next. Antonio dismisses conscience entirely. 20 consciences that stand twixt me and Milan, candied be they and melt ere they molest. He wears stolen power comfortably, boasting his garments sit much feeter than before. There's no remorse, only ambition's logic. If you can take power, why shouldn't you? This conspiracy finds its comic mirror in Caliban's drunken plot with Stefano and Trinculo. After discovering alcohol, Caliban transfers allegiance to Stefano, offering island knowledge for new leadership. Whether nobles plotting regicide or servants scheming against masters, the pattern remains identical: ambition, conspiracy, betrayal. Both plots fail. Ariel prevents the nobles' assassination. The comic trio gets distracted by gaudy clothes Prospero leaves as bait. When Ariel appears as a harpy, pronouncing judgment on the three men of sin, he declares only heart sorrow and a clear life ensuing can save them. Alonso responds with genuine remorse. Antonio and Sebastian remain defiantly unrepentant, revealing a crucial distinction. Real power lies not in controlling others, but in the capacity for transformation. The Tempest embraces self-conscious theatricality, with Prospero functioning as both character and director. His grandest spectacle, a mask celebrating Ferdinand and Miranda's betrothal, features goddesses blessing the couple. Yet Prospero abruptly dissolves this pageant upon remembering Caliban's conspiracy, prompting Shakespeare's famous meditation, "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep." This speech reveals Prospero's magic as metaphor for theatrical creation. Both conjure imaginary worlds, both must eventually end. Throughout the play, characters struggle to distinguish reality from magical deception. What we believe often matters more than objective truth. This theme culminates in Caliban's speech about the island's mysterious sounds. "Be not afeard. The isle is full of noises, sounds and sweet airs that give delight and hurt not." He describes dreaming of clouds opening to show riches, waking to cry, "To dream again." This beautiful language from the supposedly monstrous character reveals how art transcends social boundaries. Even this savage recognizes the transformative power of music and dreams more profoundly than his civilized oppressors. As the play concludes, Prospero makes a transformative choice. Though his enemies are at his mercy, he chooses mercy itself. The rarer action is in virtue than in vengeance. In a solemn ritual, he renounces his magic, promising to break his staff and drown his book deeper than did ever plummet sound. This farewell represents his return to human society. By surrendering the extraordinary power that separated him from others, he enables genuine reconciliation rather than forced submission. Prospero offers forgiveness even to those who wronged him most. To Antonio, "I do forgive thy rankest fault, all of them." Alonso returns Prospero's dukedom, while Prospero reveals Ferdinand alive and engaged to Miranda. Even Caliban promises to be wise hereafter and seek for grace. The play concludes with Prospero's famous epilogue, addressing the audience directly. "As you from crimes would pardoned be, let your indulgence set me free." By linking the audience's forgiveness of his character's flaws with their own desire for pardon, Shakespeare creates a powerful ethical connection, extending the play's exploration of power, freedom, and reconciliation beyond the fictional island to implicate us in its moral vision. The Tempest carries the weight of farewell. Written as Shakespeare prepared to leave London's theatrical world, it stands as his only play with no direct source, pure invention from a master at his height. When Prospero breaks his staff and drowns his book, it's impossible not to see Shakespeare himself relinquishing the magic that defined his life. The play's endurance lies in its interpretive flexibility. Victorians emphasized spectacle. Post-colonial readings transformed Prospero Caliban into colonizer-colonized, with writers like Aimé Césaire reimagining Caliban as symbol of subjugated peoples. Feminists questioned Miranda's constrained agency. Contemporary productions find environmental resonance, the island's delicate balance speaking to climate crisis. Its exploration of power between ruler and subject, father and daughter, artist and audience remains urgent. We too navigate between magical thinking and pragmatic action, between righteous anger and necessary forgiveness, between controlling others and setting them free. The Enchanted Island becomes a metaphor for art itself, a transformative space where reconciliation becomes possible but cannot be inhabited permanently. we remain caught in Shakespeare's Tempest, still learning from its patterns of loss and restoration.